Well, the events in the Soviet Union continue to deeply concern the whole world. The unconstitutional seizure of power is an affront to the goals and aspirations that the Soviet peoples have been nurturing over the past years. This action also puts the Soviet Union at odds with the world community and undermines the positive steps that have been undertaken to make the Soviet Union an integral and positive force in world affairs. I have this morning spoken with Boris Yeltsin, the freely elected leader of the Russian Republic, and I assured Mr. Yeltsin of continued U.S. support for his goal of the restoration of Mr. Gorbachev as the constitutionally chosen leader. And I also shared with him the support that other world leaders voiced in my several conversations yesterday, conversations I had with those leaders in Eastern Europe and leaders in Western Europe as well, Prime Minister Kaifu, and I gave him that reassurance. Mr. Yeltsin is encouraged by the support of the Soviet people and their determination in the face of these trying circumstances. He expressed his gratitude for our support of him and President Gorbachev. The situation concerning President Gorbachev's status is still unclear. And I've twice tried to reach him by phone, including within the last hour, but have so far been unsuccessful. We continue to closely monitor this situation. Our new, and I might add, very able ambassador to the Soviet Union, Robert Strauss, just sworn in, will be departing immediately from Moscow to take charge of our embassy and to report to me on the situation that he finds in the Soviet Union. So I'm asking him to go over there, get the lay of the land, establish what will be strong leadership, the embassy. We've got a good team in place, but this man is in charge of this important mission, and then to return within the next several days to give me a full personal report on what he sees there. He will not be presenting his credentials on this trip. It's going to be a short trip. And I've said that this group assume power extra-constitutionally. In conclusion, I want to emphasize that we are going to monitor the situation closely and consider its ramifications throughout the entire world. And I've emphasized in my conversation with the Eastern European leaders that the democratic processes in their country cannot be reversed. Eastern Europe is important. And I've called three of the leaders, and I want to take this opportunity to assure them of our continued interest and the need to retain calm in those countries. And indeed, they were very grateful for the contact by the United States. The United States will continue to support the economic and political reforms in their countries. And I will continue to seek the advice and counsel of Eastern European leaders in the days ahead. And, of course, the Secretary and I will be in close touch with the Western European leaders and others around the globe. Because this is an ongoing process of consultations, we intend to maintain a more formal work schedule during the remainder of my stay in Maine. There will be a number of meetings with government officials and private sector experts related to the events in the Soviet Union. There will be daily briefings on a formalized basis by my national security advisors, and I will be keeping in touch with Secretary Baker. As you know, I'll be receiving Prime Minister Mulroney and also Prime Minister Major, and of course, receiving Ambassador Strauss when he returns. Secretary Baker will be leaving today for the NATO ministerial that will be held in Brussels. These difficult events in the Soviet Union, I believe, demonstrate the wisdom of our strong and continuous support for the process of reform and restructuring. And we'll continue to support the democratic processes that have been set in motion in the Soviet Union, and most importantly, I know that the American people stand behind the people of the Soviet Union who were seeking more freedom and more opportunity in their society. So I'd like now to turn this podium over to Ambassador Strauss for a comment, and then Secretary Baker and I will be glad to take questions, or the Ambassador. And I have here, of course, our top national security team, and Secretary Cheney and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs is here, the Vice President, and if you wanted to direct questions to any of them, that would be fine, too. We're following all the situations on all fronts there, economic, military, whatever it is, very, very closely. Bob?
Thank you, Mr. President. Let me just very briefly say that when circumstances have changed rather dramatically since I accepted this assignment. It's a different world. Nevertheless, although circumstances have changed, as I've said, it seems to me that my mission remains basically the same, and that is to go to Moscow, to speak very clearly, speak very plainly, and if necessary, with undiplomatic candor from time to time, to speak for you, Mr. President, and you, Mr. Secretary, and for the American people, and to speak for the principles and of freedom and democracy, rule of law, and that I intend to do. I thank you for this. Express my appreciation to you for the confidence you've shown in me, and I'll do my best to fulfill the job. Thank you, sir.
Well, I'd be glad to entertain a few questions. Rita?
Mentioned yesterday about sometimes coups fail, and that possibly the opposition that's rallying around Yeltsin has any possibilities to turn it around. And what kind of support are you able or will you give them other than verbal?
Well, I said yesterday that some coups fail. The likelihood of this, it's hard to evaluate in this circumstance. However, there appears to be very strong support from the people in the Soviet Union for constitutional government, for democratic reform. And when you see the numbers turn out, President Yeltsin told me that he anticipated he thought there were 100,000 people near his building. When I talked to him a few minutes ago, he thinks that there will be strong support from the labor to his request that labor go out and don't produce until this matter is resolved. So you don't take freedom away from people very easily. You don't set back democracy very easily. And I'd say that it is in the best interest of the Soviet Union and its relations with other countries if a constitutional government is promptly put back into operation there.
What kind of support, though, are you going to give Yeltsin? Or you just have to stay on the sidelines and offer verbal encouragement?
Well, we're certainly going to offer encouragement in every way we can, and we're making very clear to the coup plotters and the coup people that there will not be normal relations with the United States as long as this illegal coup remains in effect. The Western Europeans have met, and they have come out with a statement along those lines. And I think with the exception of a few renegade regimes around the world, we're seeing universal condemnation. So let's hope that that will bring these people to their senses. I was just looking here about the statement from the EC decisions, and they have concluded that it's the CSCE Human Rights Conference in Moscow should not go forward, and we will certainly back them in that. Technical assistance, they're following what I mentioned yesterday in holding back all of that. And they have some serious economic problems, and they need the help of the West, and they need the cooperation of Eastern Europe, and they're not going to get it under existing conditions.
Diplomatic reality.
Yeah, Helen.
What happens now to the co-sponsorship of the Middle East Conference? Will we do it alone and other front burner issues with the Soviet Union? And what was the gist of the letter from Yanayev?
It's far too early to say what will happen to the Middle East conference. The whole world wants to see that succeed. The hopes for peace in the Middle East, and again, I credit Secretary Baker for his indefatigable efforts in putting together this peace process. The whole world wants to see it succeed. And I hope that there will be no frustration of that on the part of the Soviet Union, who have heretofore played a very constructive role in all of that. But again, we are not in contact with Foreign Minister Bismertnik. We simply don't know what's going to happen. What was the other part of your question?
Going alone.
Well, I mean, we will continue to fight we'll continue to use our best efforts to bring peace to the Middle East, no matter what happens. Of course we will. But let's face it, the Soviet Union heretofore has been constructive. And they're important in the United Nations concept, and they're important on their own with the relations they have with some other countries. It is ironic that only a handful of countries, predictably, extreme countries have supported what's happening in Moscow. I think of Libya, I think of Iraq, and I think of Cuba. These are renegades. These are people that have been swimming against the tide of democracy. And the rest of the world appears to be very upset with this usurpation of power.
President, in the past, you've had differences with Chancellor Kohl over monetary aid to the Soviet Union. In your telephone conversation with him yesterday, did you say it was imperative that they not give any money to the new regime?
No, we worked out at the G7 meeting an agreement with Chancellor Kohl that he fully supported. Germany has some special problems. Germany wants those troops, Russian troops, out of a unified Germany. We want the troops out of a unified Germany, but that was not discussed.
Aside from Secretary Baker's trip to Brussels, is this situation such that you might want to see the European leaders meet together in the summit?
Well, I'm not sure that that's the next step. We're in close contact with them. I talked to the G7 leaders yesterday, including Ruud Lubbers, the Prime Minister of the Netherlands, who's head of the EC now, and I'm not sure that a face-to-face meeting of the European leaders and United States and Japan would be productive at this point. I think the process of Jim going to NATO, his doing that is a very important step. Yes, these two over here.
Mr. President, when you say that economic relations with the Soviet Union are now on hold, does that mean you're actively going after suspending grain credits, for example, or delaying most favored nation status?
Well, we're just sitting here for a while, leaving everything on hold, as I've said. We're reviewing all these matters, and it's way too early to say how each individual category is going to work out. It's simply we've got to just take our time. We've got to be prudent, a word I think is applicable here, and I think we've got to be strong. I think the world is turning to the United States for leadership here, many countries, and I think the best thing to do now is to put these matters on hold. We did this yesterday. As you've seen, the Europeans, Western Europeans have followed suit. We don't want to hurt people anywhere in terms of starvation, things of that nature, but that's not the question right now. So it's premature for me to say what agreements will go forward and what won't. I will always have in mind what is in the national interest of the United States, however.
Mr. President, in light of your statement of late yesterday afternoon, and in light of the fact that you're now denouncing the new regime in Moscow as illegitimate and unconstitutional, might you now or soon be considering granting to Lithuania and the other Baltic republics, which are, after all, elected governments, the full recognition they have long demanded?
Our position on the Baltic states has not changed, if there's ever a change in the position, we'll let you know. As you all know, we have not ever recognized the forcible incorporation of the Baltic states into the Soviet Union. And that's where that matter is right now. But we are not giving up on the restoration of constitutional government in the Soviet Union itself. And so we'll leave that matter right there.
Well, Mike, if that fails, sir...
I'm not going to go into any hypothesis. I don't want to give hope to the coup plotters by suggesting that it is going to fail. Let's see, here we are over here.
Are you saying that if the coup succeeds and the Soviet government, this new Soviet government, is in power a long time, that the U.S. still would not recognize the Soviet Union?
You must have missed what I said to Britt. I'm not going to go into anything that hypothetical. There's no point in trying to spell out way in advance of events what we might or might not do. And the main thing I want to do is see the restoration of constitutional government. So I'm sorry, I'm not going to take hypothetical questions or respond to questions with of a hypothetical nature. I simply can't do that.
You're very definite in the short term about not recognizing them.
I'm very definite in what I said in this statement, yes. Mr. Yeltsin told me that he tried to send emissaries to see Mr. Gorbachev, that those emissaries were unsuccessful because Mr. Gorbachev is being prevented from seeing people. As I say, I've tried to call him yesterday. I think Prime Minister Major tried the same thing. I tried again today. Mr. Gorbachev is the duly constituted leader of the Soviet Union, and we will continue to try. The other thing that Yeltsin told me is that, and I think he's been said this publicly, that he feels that if this medical answer has any validity to it, that the World Health Organization should be permitted to see and examine Mr. Gorbachev. I can tell you that Yeltsin doesn't believe that, and I must tell you, I don't believe it. But that is one of the canards being thrown out. It's really old-fashioned. But nevertheless, we will continue to try to stand with Mr. Gorbachev, as Yeltsin is trying to do.
Mr. President,
are you going to have to increase our stores of ammunition now? Are you going to leave more troops in Europe than you would have taken out?
I'm not crossing any of those bridges now at all. We're just... mentioned that matter is where it stands. We're not moving any forces. Secretary Cheney and General Powell can respond to that when I finish if anyone wants to go further, but there's no I'm not trying to elevate any chance of military confrontation. Nobody wants that, and I hope that that's true of the coup plotters. It's certainly true of Eastern Europe, of Western Europe, and of the United States of America, and it's darn sure true of the people that elected Mr. Yeltsin, and it's true of the people that have supported constitutional reform in the Soviet Union, which are vast majorities. So I'll leave it right there. Yeah.
Is the Soviet regime be that concerned about American threats, considering it so far has been a bloodless coup, and considering our response to the Tiananmen Square massacre?
What was that again?
Should the new Soviet regime be that concerned with American threats, considering so far it's been a bloodless coup?
Who's threatening? Who's threatening?
Well, you have not. You're not going to say give them any diplomatic recognition at this point.
I don't view that as a threat. I view that as a status, as a factual statement that's not threatening at all. We are committed. Nobody should be surprised that we remain committed to a democratic reform and to constitutional government there. And that means that Gorbachev, who was constitutionally installed, is in our view in power. You know, it's interesting that Inayev is saying he looks forward to working with Gorbachev. It seems to me that gives a certain credibility what I'm just saying. But I've raised the question, I hope not in a testy manner, about military confrontation, because I think we want to cool that. This isn't the time to threaten militarily or to move forces around just to show machoism. That's not what's called for here. What's called for is diplomacy. What's called for is commitment to principle, backing those people who are committed to reform, backing the people in the Soviet Union and in the republics. Right over here.
Yeah, Mr. President, you said that there are other democratic forces in the Soviet Union that they may help. It seems that you wouldn't settle for anything but Gorbachev. But do you see other democratic forces emerging there that could play a very big role? Who are they? And also,
well, there's plenty of people that are committed. Look at the mayor of Leningrad, for example. There are plenty of people who are committed to democracy and to reform there and in the republics. And I think one of the things that triggered this coup, the timing of the coup, was the fact that a union treaty was about to be signed, which gave certain rights to these republics. So believe me, there's thousands and millions of people that are committed to democratic reform. But why should I go into that question that might imply that we are turning our backs on the duly constituted leader? We're not going to do that.
You know, the present group seems to be trying to appeal to the people because they feel that they are hungry and they want food. Do you think that the London summit could have done something more financially?
Well, what they're trying to do is to say, look, we got energy problems, we got food problems, we got health problems, and we, the unelected coup, are going to solve those problems. They can't do it without outside support. Mr. Yeltsin knows that, Mr. Gorbachev knows that, and these people will understand that. But what they're doing is trying to cloak their illegal move in the usurping power by saying to the people, we're going to help you in these areas where you've been shortchanged. And that will not succeed. They're going to need to go forward with these reforms if the Soviet Union is going to fulfill its potential. So that is a clear, obvious tactic they're using, but I don't think that people are going to buy into it. Jessica.
Mr. President,
I'm going to take two more after this, and then we've got to run.
President, when you spoke with Yeltsin, did he give you any indication that he feared for his personal safety or that the Gorbachev family, Mrs. Gorbachev, was in any way, was with her husband away? Or?
Yeah, nothing on the Gorbachev matter. And here was a man who was standing, Yeltsin, standing courageously against military force. And I told him that we respect you. You've been duly elected here. We pray for you, and we hope that you're successful. And what he wants to see is the restoration of constitutional government. He wants to see the rights of the republics, and he wants to see President Gorbachev restored to power. And he didn't say he's afraid. He's a very courageous man. And he says he's convinced that the people will stand with him, and well, they should. Charles, and then one more. That's it.
President, for you or for Ambassador Strauss, when he gets there, with just whom will he be meeting?
I'll leave that up to his good judgment, Charles, because you know Moscow so well, and it's very hard to say with whom he will be meeting. But one thing I want him to do is establish his leadership in our embassy to consult with a highly professional staff there, one of whom is Mr. Collins, who's the DCM, to whom I talked yesterday, get the lay of the land from the ground so it's less reaching out to individual leaders, but I'll leave that to his good judgment and the judgment of the Secretary of State. Last one, Owen, and then we're going. I haven't seen you in a long time over here.
I'm trying to establish whether it's cricket for him to meet with Mr. Yanayev, for example.
Well, we have no plans on that, and what we don't want to do is do anything that legitimizes this current regime or legitimizes what is clearly an illegal coup. And at this juncture, there are no plans for that. But again, this is a fast-moving situation, and we'll have to wait and see what his judgment is when he gets there and what he and the Secretary decide. Owen, and this is the last one.
Gorbachev, over the past month, did either of you in your conversations talk about the possibility of something like this happening or the possibility of even civil war in the Soviet Union?
Nope. What was talked about on his part was the irreversibility of this change. The fact that constitutional government is there, elections are over the horizon and have taken place in the republics, some of the republics, and his conviction that the people are committed to reform and certainly to openness, glasnost as well. And I've seen nothing in the last day or two that would compel him or me to alter that. Now, That isn't to say that there's a formidable obstacle right now in the way, and that is eight people that have usurped unto themselves all the power and are trying to take over by force. Although Yanayev has said he looks forward to working with Mr. Gorbachev in the future. So there wasn't a discussion of that. As you know, I think I have referred to, I know I have in our own meetings, concerns that we conduct ourselves in such a way to minimize the chance of military takeovers. And that military takeover has taken place. But I believe that the policy that we've had into effect of supporting Gorbachev, as Yeltsin is now has been doing over the last few months, is the correct policy. I think it is the best hope for democracy. Was the best hope for democracy and reform, and remains the best hope for democracy and reform. You get hit from the left saying if you'd written out a better check, this wouldn't have happened, and I don't believe that for one single minute. And you get hit on the other side by people that are suggesting that if we hadn't been supportive of the duly constituted president of the Soviet Union, that things would have gone more swimmingly for democracy. I reject that. I don't believe there's any fact in that. And if it were, why was Boris Yeltsin, who was elected overwhelmingly, as supportive as he was and continues to be of Mr. Gorbachev? So there it is. And as I say, we will be departing. I'm going to continue this vacation. I'm going to encourage our people to, but I don't want to be under any false color. It's going to be different now than it's been. Maybe a little more like last year. What is it about August? And but I will closely monitor this. We have extremely good communications up there, not only with our own key leaders, the Secretary of State, ambassadors, Secretary of Defense, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, our Chief of Staff, our National Security Team, the Vice President. Communications are excellent, but I don't want to mislead people. I'm going to be spending a little more time, maybe quite a bit more time, in various formal ways that you will see unveiled in staying on top of this situation. But I don't want to panic. I don't want to send a signal, but by sitting around the Oval Office here, looking busy, that the American people should expect an instant satisfactory answer to this problem. I don't want to elevate hopes by succumbing to the whims of a few political critics that suggest that matter can be better done in another way. It happened the same thing last year, and I did it the way I thought was best, and I hope I will have the full support of the American people as we follow this very, very closely. But I want to redefine it, because I said that this vacation was going to be all rest and no work, and now it's going to be changed somewhat, even though I have been getting briefed. We have tremendous press coverage up there. Get our message out. We have excellent communications and contacts. And rather than elevate the hopes by churning around in here, I'm going to finish what I started out to do. And I will receive various visitors, and you'll be fascinated, I am sure, by who they are, and it'll show you my commitment to staying right on top of this situation, because people are looking to the United States for the leadership in this disproportionately. And I might add this point. Neither the ambassador here or the Secretary of State or the Secretary of Defense or the Vice President or the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs or my White House advisors want to see this turn into an East-West confrontation. And we're going to get pushed. I answered some of these hypothetical questions. I could inadvertently move things into an East-West confrontation. And that's not what this is about. Many changes, constructive changes, have taken place in the world as a result of Mr. Gorbachev's leadership, as a result of Mr. Yeltsin's election, adherence to democracy, for example. And that, in the latter case, and clearly all you have to do is look at Eastern Europe, you have to look at a united Germany, you have to look at cooperation in various areas around the world to know what I'm talking about. So what we don't want to do is inadvertently set back any of those changes that are very, very important to the United States and to the rest of the world, particularly to Eastern Europe. And so we will conduct ourselves less flamboyantly than some would have us do our business, but I think with a proper mixture of strength and conviction to these democratic principles. Thank you all very much.
Mr. President,
what about the letter?
Mr. President,
are you concerned about health and safety personally, sir?